What is good, everyone, and welcome back to the We Just Talk Wrestling podcast. I am Kyle, going to be solo this week as Dylan and Christian have a few things going on, wishing them my best and trying to step in and entertain the fans to the best of my ability. My plan is to highlight the shows, go over any news, and kind of just go from there. It's going to be basically Kyle's open mic. Looks like that's what I'm going to even name this episode. But if you could follow us on all social media platforms, leave a 5-star rating if you could, and let's get right into it because we do have a loaded week for wrestling in general, a lot to go through. So let's get into it. So we'll start with Monday Night Raw. A lot happened. So obviously the CM Punk stuff, Randy Orton back on Raw. I'm going to go through some quick results and maybe go back into it, and we'll step in, do a little bit of detail. But let's go over it real quick. So the Creed brothers won a tag team turmoil match to become number one contenders for Finn Balor and Damian Priest tag team titles. I believe they beat the New Day, Indusheer, DIY, and Ludwig Kaiser, and Imperium, I should say. Shinsuke Nakamura ended up attacking Cody Rhodes. So if you guys remember all the vignettes and everything like that, it ended up being Cody Rhodes. So I'm very excited about that. I'll get into it in just a second. Bronson Reed and Ivar ended in a double countout. Nia Jax beat Zoe Stark. Walter was confronted backstage by The Miz, so it looks like another match might be happening, and I might have a theory why that's going to happen. Drew McIntyre ended up attacking Seth Rollins. This was awesome. I'll get into that in just a second. Women's tag team title match I thought was a very underrated match as Piper Niven and Chelsea Green defeated Tegan Nox and Natalya to retain their title. I think also they also did Randy Orton beating Dominic Mysterio in a pretty fun match. I think even Jelly Roll got involved. Nothing I thought would happen there, but the big news coming out was CM Punk making his return to Raw. So let's get into it a little bit with the Monday Night Raw. So the Creed Brothers, I think, was the right move. DIY started the match, got two wins, even beating Indusheer. I don't know if you guys heard, but Indusheer didn't even get a peep of reaction. So if that says anything to Triple H and management, and maybe the fans really don't want to see him. But DIY ended up getting eliminated by the Creed Brothers, who ended up winning. So I think this is a kind of a sink or swim kind of thing with the Creed Brothers, seeing if they can maybe get some reaction. I don't think they're going to win the titles, but they're basically just throwing them into the fire. I thought they had some good interactions with Imperium and New Day. So I'm interested to see how they do. Like I said, I don't think they're going to win. And I think this is very telling because why do you have DIY looking strong in this match? Well, I think DIY is the long-term plan, even the Mania plan. So I do expect, unless anything changes, I think the big match coming is Finn Balor and Damian Priest taking on DIY. So at Mania. So I think that could be a lot of fun. So Bronson Reed and Ivar, that was a really fun match. It wasn't the cleanest, but it was just a big man brawl. I really enjoyed that. Very smart stuff. So they're really trying to make Zoe Stark a babyface, a notable babyface. So they're putting in there with the biggest heel in the division right now, Nia Jax. I thought she looked pretty good. Wasn't one of Nia Jax's best match, but I do think it's leading to Nia Jax getting a title shot at the Royal Rumble and some kind of maybe a triple threat with Raquel, maybe one-on-one. Not sure how that's going to go. Drew McIntyre attacks Seth Rollins. So is that going to be a Royal Rumble match? I kind of have some matches I think they're going to do, but maybe we'll talk about that at the end of the show. He is facing Sami Zayn tomorrow. So that is going to be a lot of fun. Piper Niven and Chelsea Green versus Tegan Nox and Natalya, I thought was really underrated. I think all four of these women showed out. I think it was actually one of Chelsea Green's best matches since she's returned to WWE. Her and Piper have kind of a cool connection going on. As Tegan and Natalya start to gain momentum, I think they're already announced for Raw tomorrow, so they're really trying. I read a report, I would say about a couple weeks ago, that Zoe Stark and Tegan Nox are two that they are behind and trying to push. So Natalia is there for Tegan to try to get some crowd reaction out of her. So maybe we do a Natalia heel turn at some point, then Tegan goes over. I do think Tegan needs to come out of this strong, and maybe they end up winning the titles. I don't know. Cody Rhodes and Shinsuke Nakamura is going to be a lot of fun. This will not last to the Rumble. I personally would do two matches with maybe Nakamura winning one by DQ and then Cody winning one. And if I'm going to be honest, I think Cody winning the first one and Nakamura potentially winning the second one by DQ would be the way to go, because it gives him momentum into the Royal Rumble. And Nakamura, I do think, needs to look strong here. So there's a lot of different ways that they can go with this. They'll probably end up just doing a one-off. But personally, I would do Nakamura winning the second match, not clean, because Cody obviously doesn't really need to lose clean until, well, hopefully not at Mania, but you know how WWE can be sometimes. But so we have Walter and The Miz happening again. I don't know if this is going to be scheduled for 2 weeks, because I think Raw's full tomorrow. Why are they doing this match again? I think it's really telling here. I don't know if management was like, wow, The Miz got some good reaction. The story's still built in really nicely. Are they going to do The Miz winning the title? Because think about it. The only guy that was potentially going to beat him was Gable. And now they kind of stopped the Walter references and his promos and his backstage stuff. So, and it looks like he's pretty invested with the Alpha Academy stuff. Man, I'm telling you, I do think if anyone is going to beat him now, I do think Walter may end up losing to The Miz, and The Miz might be the one to do it. I just don't understand why they do the match again, unless it leads to maybe DIY and The Miz versus Walter and Imperium as a whole. I just don't know what they're going to do if The Miz doesn't win. Now, obviously, if Walter loses, I think he's absolutely the front runner of the Royal Rumble, which maybe we'll get to the end of the show. But and then obviously Randy Orton just looks absolutely jacked. He had a nice little match with Dominic. Obviously Dominic doesn't really need to beat Randy Orton, but they had a little bit of fun with that. CM Punk, listen, I saw a lot of people have complaints with his promos. I just don't know what everyone was expecting, right? I mean, he's not going to come out and just obliterate AEW, whole lot of references, putting them down. I mean, the whole point of the promo was to say that he has changed, he's happy, he's healthy, he's ready. And I just think that was going to be the message spread all along. I just don't understand where people had this notion of CM Punk was just going to, you know, just say whatever. They're going to be very strict with him, especially with him on a microphone. So I think CM Punk checked every box here. He even kind of teased saying like, well, one person isn't glad that I'm back. So they kind of nonchalantly teased him and Rollins. So obviously if that match is going to happen, it's probably going to be at WrestleMania. So I think it accomplished everything it needed to be. And CM Punk looked very comfortable. So, there was a video that I saw today with, I think, one of his last promos in WWE 2014. He just sounded so robotic. And, you know, listening to this one, he was like, man, he just feels happy to be here. He's glad for the second chance. I really hope it works out. I'm not the biggest Punk guy, but I'm really hoping it works out for him. But Monday Night Raw, I believe, was run by Bruce Pritchard, because WWE, Nick Khan and Triple H were talking about like TV deals for Monday Night Raw. You could see in some of the backstage stuff and segments that it did feel a little Vince-y, but I do think they did have some strong points. Wasn't a bad Raw, maybe a tad underwhelming, especially how red hot they were coming out of Survivor Series, but I still think they accomplished everything they needed to. And I think it sets up tomorrow perfectly, because we are in for a treat. Let's hop over to SmackDown here. This was another big show. Randy Orton was announced for it, which we'll get to him in just a little bit. Bobby Lashley defeated Pete Dunne. Santos Escobar defeated Joaquin Wilde, or Zema Ion, which is my guy. Kevin Owens came to face-to-face with Logan Paul, and then he ended up beating Grayson Waller in a singles action. And then in the main event, Bianca Belair defeated Kairi Sane in a whole lot of story progression, which we'll get to. So let's start with Bobby Lashley. So obviously, it does look like they have some plans for Bobby Lashley and the Profits. I don't think the stable is done. It just feels incomplete. I just don't know if they're fully going to get over as a heel team. I do think they lack one more powerhouse. I don't know how it's going to go. I do think they need one more member, though. But Lashley and Pete Dunne actually meshed very well. They showed a lot of Pete Dunne's offense. And what this is doing, you know, the goal here is to have Ridge Holland come out as a big heel. And I'm hoping that, you know, they're going to change that dumb name back to Pete Dunne and maybe get a singles push. So knowing Triple H, if he is in charge, I do expect Pete Dunne to potentially get a big singles push, maybe in the main event scene, who knows, but it does look like probably more of the mid-card scene, maybe even the U.S. champion one day, but we'll just have to keep our eyes on it. I thought Joaquin Wilde and Santos was awesome. They're keeping this heel character of Escobar red hot. Joaquin Wilde was basically stepping in for Rey. He sold that Phantom Driver so well. I thought these two put on a show. They didn't get too much time, like 7-8 minutes, but I thought this was very entertaining. They keep going back to the Kevin Owens stuff with Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. You know, the match with Waller wasn't bad. We haven't talked about Grayson Waller too much on the show. I don't know if it's his delivery. I don't know if he's too good in the ring. Something's just not clicking with me with Grayson Waller right now. I think he fit that 2.0 a little bit better than the main roster. This is someone that they're trying with, because they put him in some big spots over the last couple months. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens with Grayson Waller. I'm just not too impressed right now, if that makes sense. I thought his match with Edge was really good. I thought his confrontation with Cena, what was that, Money at the Bank, was good. But I don't know. I think there's something lacking from Grayson Waller. I might just have to go back and watch some of his stuff. But I think it might be holding Austin Theory back, because I think Austin Theory between the two has the bigger ceiling, or the higher ceiling. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Kevin Owens, I think, even got hurt. I don't know if this is a storyline injury, a real injury. He did look decently banged up coming out, but man, I hope not, because obviously they announced a tournament and Kevin Owens was absolutely going to win and face Logan Paul at the Royal Rumble. I think Logan Paul has already been announced for the Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and Mania. So obviously we all kind of think that Logan Paul and LA Knight is the match for Mania. So could they do Kevin Owens at both? Who knows? I would like them to start teasing Austin Theory as a babyface, though. I do think, like I said, they're just not showcasing Theory great right now. They're kind of putting him on that back burner, which is fine, but I do think he does need to become a babyface. So this was the outrage coming out of SmackDown. So Bianca Belair defeated Kairi Sane with the KOD. So they also started off the show, and Bayley actually was not out there with him. So after that, they did a backstage segment. Basically, Bayley was saying, "You guys didn't tell me. I would have helped you. I was in the back. I was watching, but you didn't tell me to come out." So obviously, they're playing into that story. And then coming out, you know, Kairi Sane did have a little bit of momentum. And then Bayley came out, even though she was told not to, by Io Sky, and basically cost Kairi the match. So I don't think it hurts Kairi in any way, just because of, you know, the result, and she didn't lose clean and everything like that. And also, you have to think that Kairi as a singles competitor isn't going to lead to any title opportunity or anything right away. I actually think Kyrie is going to be more in that tag division with Asuka. I think that's going to be their plan going into Mania, just because I think everything else is going to be pretty stacked. So I'm interested to see what they do there. I think Bayley is playing this persona super, super well, and I am so excited for it. This Bayley face turn, like I called a couple weeks ago, is going to hit. And also, I've gotten the question, why does Bianca win every match? Like, why has she been booked so strong? Jade Cargill. I mean, you have to think of it that way, right? I mean, how are you going to integrate her into this, right? Because this has to integrate Jade, right? So from the beginning promo, they're still doing Bianca, Charlotte, and Shotzi on a team, and they still have beef with Judgment Day. It is, you know, a lot of people said, well, why didn't it end at War Games? It kind of makes sense here in a way, because remember, Bianca really never lost her title clean. So they also have to tie up some loose ends there, and obviously Charlotte. I think it's got to be Jade, though. She's got to be part of this story. Now, I said last week, could you do Shotzi and Charlotte versus a heel Bianca and Jade? I think that would be a really good showcase for her, and it could hide some of her inefficiencies in the ring, maybe some of her green. And it would be another big opportunity for Shotzi. I've seen a lot of people online say that could be Bianca and Charlotte at Mania. I don't think I'd want to see that, to be honest. I think if you're going to put Jade in a big spot, I mean, you already kind of teased it with her and Charlotte. So, man, dude, Bianca is just kind of stale. So I think Bianca and Jade versus Shotzi and Charlotte would be the match. Unless if you're going to do Bianca, Jade, I would also do Charlotte and Shotzi. I would do the heel turn with Charlotte. You know, if you want to make Shotzi a main event player, you're going to have to turn her into one at some point. So she's kind of struggling with crowd reaction. And obviously Charlotte gets them really good. So maybe putting her over at Mania would be something to consider. And the main event. So this was awesome. So both general managers were trying to sign Randy Orton. So Randy was basically like, you know, I'm not done with the bloodline. He had interaction with Solo and Jay. Out comes LA Knight. Fans erupted. Ends up choosing Friday Night SmackDown, which was very smart because Raw has Punk. They needed another big time player. And then he ends up RKOing Nick Aldis in a really funny spot. But Randy Orton looks really good right now. I just loved the way that Jimmy sold that RKO. If you guys haven't seen it, please go back and watch it, because it is a treat. Let me just say that. So obviously they are leading to Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton at the Royal Rumble for the title. Is this going to be another circumstance of the bloodline costing somebody the match? I also wouldn't be against Roman winning clean, but if you want to make Orton looking strong coming out, it's probably going to have to be the same scenario with, you know, Roman Reigns winning with some help. So the thing is, man, like, we've seen it so much that they're basically kind of limping to Mania, because you got to think of it. If Cody does not beat Roman at Mania, are we going to see, you know, how 2, 3, 4 more years of this? I think they're running low on this right now. So I think they'll do it maybe at the Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber, and then we'll go from there. But the Royal Rumble is actually set up pretty nice if you think of it. So obviously we're going to have the men's Royal Rumble. We're going to have the women's Royal Rumble. We're going to have Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. And then it gets kind of dicey. So the match was going to be Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. I don't know if that's going to be put on hold, because if there is an injury there, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But if he is cleared, expect Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble. I would assume they only do 5 matches because those take an hour long. So they probably end up doing another women's match. I wouldn't be against them doing Drew and Seth again. If in my opinion, they probably could do like Raquel, Nia, and Rhea and just have them beat the brakes off of each other. I don't need to see another EO and Bianca title match, you know, at a big event. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I do think that 5th match is going to be a women's match, but I wouldn't be against them doing the Rollins and Drew McIntyre. And then, you know, obviously that leaves Walter and the IC title out. And I do expect Brock Lesnar to be his opponent at Mania. Even though I'm not too thrilled about that, but so let's move on here. So, hey, I'll quickly do AEW, and honestly, maybe even wrap up, because I apparently only have 30 minutes to record on this episode, since I'm doing it via my computer. AEW was kind of up and down. Let me say the quick results from Dynamite, and then obviously I'll just wrap up here and do just a quick couple things. The Continental Classic is in full swing. Brody King has been probably the MVP for me. Jay Lethal is just there to eat pins. I think he lost to Jon Moxley, and then Roosh defeated Mark Briscoe in a really good match. I thought that was one of the best matches of the night. Swerve and Jay White was also really good. Just looking at some of the results, Emi Sakura took a loss to Julia Hart for the TBS title in another open challenge. And, it was already announced, that Sky Blue, after losing a triple threat match, at Full Gear, will get a world title opportunity against Toni Storm. Is anyone going to tell me why? What'd she do? She interrupted Toni Storm once, and that's enough for a title shot? Man, the booking is awesome here. So I'm not going to get too fully into AEW. There was some really good wrestling here. I think the mainstream fan is going to get a little exhausted from this tournament. They are obviously targeting the diehard fan here. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the fans react to when it ends. And then the best thing coming out, I know the Devil story has been interesting, but this Wednesday, Christian Cage and Adam Copeland is going to be awesome. So I'm very, very excited to see what they do in that match. Probably lean to something bigger at the World's End show. I am quickly going to do the indies. So I highlighted Capital Pro Wrestling this week, based out of Lansing, Michigan, talking about some of the action, starting with 24K Kid beating Hexus. Jason Blazin successfully defended CPW Super Junior Weight title against Gazelle. The Purge win the Great Lakes Tag Team titles against Billy Ray Daniels and Trey Jacobs in the main event. Keith Cream retained his Great Lakes TV title against Nate Mattson to cap off a fun night of action. My MVP of the night goes to Jason Blazin, someone who is super clean inside the ring, mastered multiple styles, and I just love how crafty he is. So go check out Capital Pro Wrestling on YouTube, because you will not be disappointed. They do some great stuff. I kind of learned about halfway through that I can only go half an hour on this. So I do apologize that I cut the AEW stuff short. But we will go more in depth with the Continental Classic moving forward. AEW was pretty good this week. SmackDown was definitely a better show than Raw, but I still do think WWE is super hot. With Triple H back this week, It's going to be, I think it's going to be a really good show. You should just see what they have announced. I mean, DIY versus Imperium 2 out of 3 falls. Jey Uso versus Rollins for the title. Sami Zayn taking on Drew McIntyre. I mean, we're eating good. We are eating good, and I'm very, very excited about it. So I already talked about the Royal Rumble and how I am very excited about it. We're going to talk about who we think is going to win those respective matches maybe in about a month's time. I already predicted the card. I still think the company is going to be super hot going into there. I do think the winners are getting somewhat predictable, especially if Walter doesn't drop the title. I mean, CM Punk and Bayley obviously are the front runners, but we'll definitely talk about if that's going to be the wise choice moving forward. I also said this last week. I do want to have a quick discussion. So I read on a report, not really a report, but someone's opinion. So Boozer666, shout out to him on Twitter. He kind of suggested a fatal four-way for the Raw women's title, or I don't even know what they call that anymore, or the women's world heavyweight title. I can't really remember. Because obviously Liv Morgan's going to come back and obviously has beef with Liv Morgan, or with Rhea Ripley, sorry. Are you going to do like a Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan, Nia Jax, and Rhea? Does that sell? Is that how you integrate Jade Cargill? Is you do Jade, Liv, Becky, and Rhea? I'm going to be honest. I really don't think that is a money match. I do ultimately think they're going to go Becky, Rhea, because, you know, Becky, I've been very hard on her. She is not great in the ring, and I will stick by that, but she has put over a lot of people, especially when she was the NXT champion, and she had a really good match with Xia Li. So I do think they're going to reward her with a big match. I just don't know what they're going to do with Liv Morgan, because obviously I've seen that she's going to come back soon. Do you do her at the Elimination Chamber? So obviously when we talk about the women's matches, we'll probably have about 4 women's matches at Mania. They're going to try to get everyone jam-packed in here. I could even see them doing 5 women's matches, because you also have to think 2 nights of Mania, 7 and 7 is what we're probably going to be at. There is a lot of mouths to feed. So, and they're going to pack up the women's tag team title match. It is looking like Kat and Zero, or Katana Chance and King Carter, is the long-term plan. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. I do think the tag division is getting strong. I do think they have a mid-card scene. So I do think the WWE's women's division is looking up. And yeah, we won't talk about the AEWs, but I did see that Serena Deeb might be coming back soon. So shout out to her, because I think she can be the shot in the arm. But I am quickly going to wrap up here. I know it was a very short one. I just saw that I can only get 30 minutes in, but I do appreciate all the support on the show. Like I said, Dylan and Christian should be back next week. So I'm really looking forward to having them back on. We're going to try to do the theme song bracket next week. I know everyone was very excited about that. Did have to be postponed a little bit, but we promise that is going to be a great show. And we have the awards coming up. We have the awards in about a month, or even less than a month. So 2 weeks from today, the nominees will be announced. I have a lot of work to do. I'm very excited about it. We just have some really fun things on the show. So if you're a We Just Talk Wrestling listener, you're in for a treat, because we have worked really hard to get to this point. And we're on a hot streak right now. So I'm going to just quickly wrap up here. It was a pretty good week for wrestling. Very excited to see what happens next. So this is Kyle. And I hope everyone has a great rest of their weekend. And we will catch everyone next week with the theme song bracket.